This is a Deese World production in association with Pants Pending Studios.
Is this just a situation where you're going to cut a bunch of our blurbs out of context?
No, because then there would be blisters in awkward places, which would be terrible.
Oh, here we go. That is the dirtiest thing I've ever seen.
Listen to The Nerd with Adam, Will, and Amanda.
Why did I get top billing? I don't deserve top billing.
Because out of the two of us, you're the one she likes better.
Aw, man. I mean, yeah.
I'm 8 months pregnant. Put another one in me.
And that's when she figured out that I had taken drugs.
How are all of you? We're going to do a promo, but we're just going to talk sex.
I got to see your dick.
Aw, man. I mean, yeah.
She cooked dinner for me in lingerie, which hopefully she doesn't listen to this. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that.
This podcast phenomenon is sweeping the nation, and we're all up on the bandwagon with the plethora of episodes at nerd.pantspending.com.
Willem Dafoe gives me a lady boner.
Blue Chew is bullshit, by the way.
Listen to The Nerd. It's not the worst thing that can happen to you. Is that a good no? It takes effort to do a promo.
Yeah.
And I think we knew that before.
Although I feel like we could just put that part in.
Yeah.
That along with the nerdy thing Adam said and me with the sexy voice. There you go. There's your promo, Will. Congratulations.
The Nerd. I'm sorry.
You are now listening to The Social Hour.
They're not PC, so if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
They all pop that pussy the same.
Get ready for the social hour.
Live from Deese World Studios in Spokane, Washington. This is The Social Hour. On today's show, Dee sits down one-on-one with comedian and former news anchor, Jay Mintz. And now your host. Welcome to his no-spin zone, Dee Casillas.
Malam Keen, everyone, welcome to the show. This is The Social Hour. I am Deese. Thank you for coming around for another episode. We appreciate it. As always, guys, go to pantspending.com. Check out all the shows on the network. Go to Patreon.com/pantspending. Kick in a couple dollars. You can do a one-time donation or subscribe. Get all the behind-the-scenes content from across the network, from the Never-Ending Random Discussion, Burr Martin Experience, and, of course, The Social Hour. Guys, we have a great episode for you. No Sophie, no Jeremy. That's not what makes it great. That is what makes it good, though. But in studio, returning to us after a long departure, we have former guest of the year, former news anchor and a co-host on the show, Jay Mintz. Jay, how you doing?
I'm so good. It's nice to be back. Thank you.
It's so good to see you. Jay made it back from her campaign in the South Pacific. She was.
I have the coronavirus.
She got.
Dee, come here to spit in your mouth.
God, you usually make me pay for that.
Usually, yeah.
We're gonna talk. She had how long were you gone for, Jay? You were.
I was there for
Vietnam.
14 months.
14 months.
Yeah.
God, you know what's crazy is I got to see Jay after she came back and we talked for a little while, and when you told me it had been 14 months, I'm like, fuck, dude, it felt like you were gone for like 6 months. How did it feel like?
Right.
How long did it feel like you were gone to you? I mean, you were
about 14 months.
Yeah, well, did it feel that way?
Yeah, because like, you know, you were here still with your life and your friends and all that going on, but me being alone in Vietnam, that was pretty hard.
Yeah. And you went over there and you didn't, no friends.
No friends.
No nothing.
No family.
No family. Nada. You found a retarded cat.
I did.
You tried
oh
to kill
God.
A cat, then you kept it.
Yes, It's so great.
So, where did let's talk about where you have been. So you went to Vietnam to for new listeners that maybe have joined the show since Jay was a part of the show for so long. You went to Vietnam to teach English, correct?
Yeah, I mean, mainly it was to like escape my recent breakup. My fiance and I split. I was in a feeling of very lost. I was like, oh fuck, how do I solve this by moving across the world?
Moving to not moving to another part of the second biggest city in Washington State. Just moving across the world.
Literally across the world. Okay. And guess what? You're still the same shitty person you are over there that you are here.
That's right. I've been saying that about you for years. I'm like, Jay, you're going to be the shitty person anyway.
Oh, I still was. I super still was. I learned nothing.
You figure, yeah, you would be at the end of the Christmas Carol. What did you learn? Fucking, I don't know. Where's my new gift?
Yeah, pretty much.
Assholes. So you went to Vietnam to escape your fiance, but you kind of had this plan, right? Mm-hmm. You had a plan of what? And what was your plan?
Yeah, I mean, like, so it's always kind of been in the back of my mind. I wanted to travel extensively, stay in a country for a long time while making money, and so that was either going to be like Peace Corps or teaching English. Yes. Is a super easy way to do that. So ridiculously easy to get a job in Asia teaching English, and Vietnam pays really well, and the cost of living super low. So, but yeah, that was pretty much the game plan.
And now you didn't, because if I recall correctly, when you moved, you didn't know the language.
Nope.
You didn't have a place to live.
Nope.
And you didn't actually have a job yet.
That is correct.
Okay. So I just want to be clear on what was.
I bought a plane ticket and then I was like, let's see what happens.
Yeah, go for it. Well, that's bold, though. At least you can.
I actually thought I was getting kidnapped my first night there.
What? Why?
Well, okay. So I had arranged, like, I was going to stay at a hostel and I had arranged for them to, like, send a car to pick me up. And they're like, okay, we're going to send, like.
Who did you arrange to send?
With the hostel.
I see.
And
got
so
it.
I had, like,
wow.
Paid them.
Okay. Yeah.
And so they were like, okay, our guy's going to pick you up in, like, a small, like, sedan. He's going to meet you at Pillar 10 and he'll have your name written on a piece of paper.
Sure.
And
on rice paper.
On rice paper. But like, I'm paranoid, so I was reading up on scams that they do, and a lot of times people will like get to the airport, they'll see the actual people with signs and they'll quickly write it down on like with Sharpie on another piece of paper and they'll try to get to the tourist first.
So you have to get
so that you get in their van and then they rob your ass or they kidnap you.
Or so you got to decide who the real person
exactly.
For you got to need like a safe word, but you don't speak their language.
Yeah, so that didn't work. But so yeah, I get off of like a 36-hour flight. I didn't sleep the entire time, so I'm like fucking delirious.
Yeah,
and nobody's at Pillar 10, so I'm like walking around with this super heavy luggage too.
Sure,
and I was so tired. And finally, I see this dude like five pillars away with this just chicken scratch, like my name, like probably written in blood.
Yeah,
and so he like sees me look at him. And I'm like, oh, like, maybe. So he comes
I
up
I mean, one of the others, probably so many Jay Mitz's people. I mean, there's got to be at least seven of us on this flight.
Definitely. So I follow him, and he leads me, like, across the parking lot to this dark area. And I was like, this is already bad. And then it's not a small, like, they said it was going to be a four-seater car. It was this fucking giant van.
Yeah.
This black-ass van. And so I'm like, oh, no. And so I tried to explain. I was like, is this the right car? And he just didn't speak English. So he just like took my shit, put it in the car.
Yeah.
And I didn't have Google Maps. I had no way of tracking where we were going. And he just took us in this seedy fucking part of town. There were like people lying on the streets. But then he let me out of the hostel.
And so you made it.
I was fine. Yeah, I was totally fine. But I was like actually considering like, do I tuck and roll? Like, do I?
Why do I just forget my life? What would be amazing is if you tucked and rolled and then he got there and they're like, where is she? Like, I don't know. I have her luggage. Yeah. You're like wandering the street.
Midway through, she just bailed out of the car.
What happened? I don't know.
No, I think I'm too old to kidnap now, though.
No, you're never too old to get kidnapped. As a white woman, You're still cute, Jay. Well, you're not busted yet.
Not yet, but I mean, I'm getting less and less impregnable each year. Is that a word?
Yeah, those fallopian tubes are closing up, drying out.
Better get me while the getting's good.
That is a challenge you do not want to put out into the
internet. No,
interweb.
Not really.
That is not a challenge. It's scary times.
Come get these tubes, boys.
Fill it up. I dare you, pussies.
Oh, my God.
That could go poorly very quickly.
Yeah.
So he didn't abduct you.
He didn't abduct me.
You stayed at this hostel for how long?
So I was at the hostel for, let's see here. I was there for maybe like a week. And then, because I did go to school over there to get certified to do this teacher training thing. It's like this 4-week program that I had paid for.
Yeah.
So I did have like a little bit of a plan.
So you knew you were going to get to that training program. Mm-hmm. That was kind of.
Yeah, that was the goal. That actually started 2 weeks after I got there. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to like get there, settle in. So before that, I was just staying at the hostel. Then I did that 4-week program. And then after that, I just like fucked around for 5 months and blew through all my money. And
sure, lots of cocaine and hookers. Lady boys all day.
That's in Thailand. I mean, there were some lady boys in Thailand. Yeah. I went there for New Year's and woo.
How many lady boys did you get?
I didn't get with any, but there were several that came
that
approached.
Offered?
That approached. Them.
Okay.
Yeah. And they were all cuter than me, which sucked.
You know, I've heard tale that they're A, quite attractive, and mm-hmm. B, it's actually a really like, interestingly, socially, not that it's, we mm-hmm. shouldn't consider it socially acceptable in America, mm-hmm. but it's like very culturally just kind of a part of the zeitgeist there.
It is just kind of a
thing that it's very commonplace, you know, whereas
there wasn't like any shaming that there would be here.
I feel like it's like just kind of well known mm-hmm. and it's still a little jarring to some people, or like, oh, there they are, you know, here, mm-hmm. you know, or like it's or people hide it a little more here, maybe.
Yeah.
Whereas it's just kind of part of the thing that happens. Anyway, live show of Social Hour in Thailand next. No, I'm kidding.
I think the main jarring thing was the ping pong show. That was intense.
And what was the ping pong show?
So that is where ladies, they'll place ping pong balls into their orifices, and they with like incredible force
great
shoot them at the audience.
Yeah.
And you have little ping pong paddles and you've got to protect yourself.
that's like a great way to get Hep C.
I'm sure, dude,
I'd want goggles and a mouth guard. I wouldn't want that thing going in my you put that, get that in your, that's how the coronavirus probably started. If you hit one back into the cooch, you get a point.
I didn't ask for those rules. I was heavily intoxicated at that point. My reflexes were still good enough that I didn't get hit, but
didn't get hit.
Yeah.
That's such an odd. How does a show like that even start? Like, it doesn't seem entertaining.
To me. Like who? I mean, God, there are fetishes about everything, but who's like, you know what would be hot? Getting fucking hit in the eye with a pussy juice ping pong ball.
You know what's scary to that is if that girl has that kind of Kegel power, I would never want to. You'd think like you if you were ever having mm-hmm. sex with that woman, she could just rip your dick off with her pussy, right?
That would be amazing.
Just like squeeze her, squeeze.
Yeah,
her
she could break your dick in
twist
half.
And just like, you know.
It's like a Chuck Norris vagina.
Yeah, that's a kung fu clit.
God, not going to lie, though, like after that show, I didn't. But there was a part of me that was like, how far could I shoot one of those?
here's how this scenario would go. You would be just drunk enough to convince yourself you could do it.
Yeah.
You would insert one ping pong ball into you, and then you'd be like, I lost a ping pong ball inside of me, and you would have to call a doctor and through extreme language barriers have to explain how you now have a ping pong bottle ping pong ball in your dry fallopian tube.
Oh no. You know, at least I feel like in Thailand, they've seen it before and they're just being like, all right.
Yeah, they're like, all right. This is,
we've got a code B.
Yeah, this is my seventh one this week. Yeah. This is literally all I do. There's just one doctor dedicated to pulling ping pong
balls.
Like
removing ping pong balls.
They probably have, it's like the same mm-hmm. reason that, ERs in America mm-hmm. now keep a diamond blade in all emergency rooms because so many people were shoving the neck end of glass bottles into orifices.
Oh my God.
And then the suction would not allow for them to get them out, you know, as a vacuum okay. seal works.
Uh-huh.
So and you don't want to just like willy-nilly shatter a glass in your hoo-ha. So they have diamond blades to, yeah. to cut the end of them to get, create airflow so they can pull them out.
This is really good. I should take notes. This is
yeah,
good.
Yeah. I don't know if ping pong balls work the same way, but that is a thing that happens.
Okay, perfect. Now we, note we, to we, self, yeah, don't yeah. masturbate with a glass bottle.
We've all learned something. So. Okay. Yeah, we've all figured a lot out more today.
Got some more information.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you, Dee. So informative.
That's right. That's hi, kids. I'm future mayor.
You know what? I'm sure there are some 13-year-olds that could greatly benefit from that.
Yeah, that's true. Be like, they need to know these things. Don't stick that there.
That should be a program that you do. Don't stick that there.
Don't stick that there.
Okay, I like this idea.
So you were in Thailand or in
I was
Vietnam
in Vietnam
for mm-hmm. 14 months.
Yes.
Here's what I'm really curious about mm-hmm. that I don't think we even talked about this when we had lunch the other day was how do Vietnamese people view Americans mm-hmm. and I don't mean just as like a tourist
yeah
but also as like American culture and like politically America like how do they mm-hmm. how do if you know from their continent how do they view America
so I think it depends on who you ask so
obviously the men opinions don't matter.
There you go
yeah
I did sometimes get vibes from the older people that they were like these fucking white people yeah. like not just Americans in general but just all of the tourists kind of or like the just, expat because there is a huge expat community there
sure
but the younger people they really it's weird they like very much admire you they
kind of idolize
yeah. like they watch a lot of American TV shows they listen to our music they want to be your friend.
Sure.
So if you go out to coffee, it's not uncommon. Like one, everyone stares at you. So that's something yeah. to adjust to. Yeah. And then
it's like black people in Spokane.
Kind of.
We saw one.
Yeah, exactly.
I think he plays for Gonzaga.
Speaking of that, being a minority is so weird. Like whenever sure. I was walking yeah. down the street, it was an experience
no,
for me.
No, I know. I'm being genuine. I'm not being facetious. I imagine that because it's got to be, you know, very different from being in America. You're
yeah.
you're a, you know, very unremarkable white girl.
Yeah, super unremarkable. Just plain as fuck. Basic ass bitch.
but I mean, so yeah, it's weird. You don't think about it, but you know. In a country like that, where it's not like going to Europe or mm-hmm. going to even parts of like Latin America,
yeah.
you know, where you can kind of like not that you like you necessarily look Latin, but you don't mm-hmm. you don't stand out as much as a white girl in Vietnam, where
yeah.
everyone
well, it's totally homogenous. Like everyone the there, except for the expats, they are like pretty much 100% Vietnamese.
Yeah, yeah,
and
it's not exactly a melting pot.
Not even a little bit. So, like, I remember there were several occasions where I'd be walking down the street, like in my neighborhood, and if I saw a white person, like first I'd be surprised, and then I'd give them the head nod, like the so.
If you saw someone who wasn't Vietnamese,
if I saw someone white,
okay,
like if yeah. I saw a white person, I'd like we'd do like the head nod at each other, and I was like, this is what black people do at parties. Yeah. Like, I understand.
Yeah, sure, right. You get it. Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
I was super lonely at first because before I started my job and before I got in my program, there was just like a period of time where I was alone and the locals like really don't speak English and
sure.
I didn't speak Vietnamese. So I would go like days at a time without speaking to anyone and it was super lonely. So I was sitting at this cafe and there was a white guy sitting in the corner and I didn't, but I wanted so bad to just like walk up and be like, can I sit with you?
Can we pretend we're family?
You look like me. Can we talk?
That would be the biggest thing. To me, like I've traveled to a lot of Latin countries and mm-hmm. I know some Spanish. I can understand it better than I can speak it.
Yeah.
And I know that, like, you know, there's the Latin based languages. So, like, my cousin, who's fluent in Spanish, but was in, I want to say, Italy or France one time, probably Italy. And he had to, like, communicate with a cab driver. He's like, it was weird because some of the words are similar or, like, close enough where you can kind of pick up context.
Yeah.
So there's, but, like, with Vietnamese, like, I would have no fucking idea. Yeah, I don't have an idea of where to even start. Honestly, I don't know a single word.
It's such a hard language because, one, it's tonal. So each word is one syllable. Mm-hmm. So, like, think about, like, English, like, the word significance. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like that. Yeah. Each word is only one syllable. And if you say it high, low, or like medium, it completely changes the meaning. So I tried to learn, and one, they don't expect a foreigner to speak Vietnamese.
Sure.
And then two, if you just mess up that pronunciation at all, it completely changes the sentence.
You just called my wife a dirty cunt.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So I gave up pretty quickly.
What I meant
quickly.
Is I like her pussy. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I just tonally.
I like her dirty cunt.
Yeah. It's got to be really, really crazy. And did you, I mean, how do you even begin to navigate that when you're in a place where you don't know the language and you don't know anyone and you don't have a way to translate? I mean, do you really like walk around with a book and be like,
no.
Donde esta coffee?
I don't know how people did it before technology. Like after you get over the culture shock, I can honestly say living in Vietnam was so easy.
Sure.
Like my life there was incredibly easy. I worked 20 to the max, 25 hours a week. My apartment was super cheap. You can take motorbikes around, which is actually super fun. Everything's really cheap. Food is cheap.
You can like rent them?
You can rent them. You can buy them for really cheap too. And it is incredibly easy to live there.
Yeah.
But it is because Google Maps, because of Google Translate, because of different apps that they have there as well. Without technology, I would have died.
Sure.
Like, really quickly.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's got to be really, again, I mean, I've gone to countries kind of ill-prepared for the, not really researching a lot, just kind of showing up.
Yeah.
But again, they're Latin countries where, and also, I mean, realistically, I'm a guy. It's probably a little easier for a guy to travel than like a single, petite white woman in another country. That's just obviously it's a little easier to be predatory.
Yeah, like you have to be extra careful.
Yeah.
Like you shouldn't like get drunk or do drugs downtown. I might definitely did. But
But other people should not.
Shouldn't.
People who value their life at all. So what about the living conditions? Tell me about your apartment. Is it similar is it similar setup to like an apartment you would imagine in America, or is it,
So I lived in Hanoi first. I lived in Hanoi for about 5-6 months. And there I had this studio apartment that was actually pretty nice, although the bed was the hardest bed I've ever encountered. It actually had right angles. Like, if you fell into the corner, you would stab yourself.
Jesus.
It was so
fucking
hard.
This is so dangerous.
So that was super uncomfortable. Also, in Hanoi, the humidity is really intense.
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't have a dryer. So I would wash my clothes and I'd hang them outdoors and they just never got dry. So I was just like always kind of wet and sticky. Also, your clothes mold. Because it's so humid that if you don't wash them every week, they'll like literally grow mold. So
did you learn that the hard way?
I did. Yeah, I did. Because when I decided to move to Ho Chi Minh, I was packing my suitcase and some shit that I hadn't washed in a few weeks had like grown mold up to the knee. And I was like, well, got to throw all this away. No, but in Ho Chi Minh,
I guess there's no hippies over there, right? If you don't shower, you're fucking real stinky.
I mean, there definitely were some stinky people, but but my living condition in Ho Chi Minh was both like better and worse.
What's the distance between Hanoi and Ho Chi Minh? What are we talking?
In miles, I don't actually know. It
kilometers,
was like a 4 or 5 hour flight. Basically, Hanoi's
the
in
other
the
side of this
exactly
the country.
Hanoi's in the north. Ho Chi Minh's in the south.
What size wise? Like, I mean, are these cities? If you could compare them to to like an American city.
Oh, okay. So Hanoi had about 7.5 million people, but it's super poorly built.
Dense,
so it's
probably,
super dense. It's really tight. Traffic is insane. like you're never going to cross an empty street. You just have to walk out and then the hundreds of motorbikes weave around you. Yeah. So you have to move slowly but steadily, because if you run, they'll hit you.
Yeah, it's like a weird
if you stop, they'll
game.
Hit you.
Yeah.
It is. It's actually super scary at first, but once you get it down, it's very fun.
That seems like a really dangerous game that like a bunch of drunk people would make into a game.
Probably.
And
like,
then,
can we?
Yeah. Then that's how you lose a leg.
No, that honestly
anyway,
was one
that's
of my.
I got this titanium femur. So,
yeah, but and then Ho Chi Minh is bigger. It's like 8.5-9 million people, but mm-hmm. it's built better. It's
okay.
wider, still crazy populated, but it's not as bad as Hanoi.
Yeah. How many people there have katana blades?
I didn't see. No, actually, they don't. The government is super intense about weapons. Like, I used to run.
They have better weapons than katana blades.
I don't think the civilians have any.
Yeah, they keep them disarmed. So it's
keep them disarmed.
Disarmed.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Like, okay. I used to go, I lived by a park, and I wanted to go on runs at night. And I was like, oh, I should get a pocket knife so I'm not so attackable.
Yeah.
I couldn't find one because just you can't even get knives.
What about throwing stars?
None of that.
No?
No, they aren't ninjas.
Bow staff.
I'm actually super glad that they don't have access to weapons, because when I was teaching, I had this one kid in my class who... All the time. He was like, I love guns. Like, oh, I want to shoot people. Just very scary. Like, if I were in the States, I'd be
They really do idolize Americans.
They, fucking Christ.
I want to shoot up a school. Oh, man, you do love our culture.
Yeah. I was talking about, like, if you could bring anything to school, what would it be? He's like, a bomb.
A bomb to kill everyone.
Yeah, but thankfully, they don't have access to that, so he's just going to... have to create something.
Not too, okay. So what about the outside the cities? How far do you have to go outside the cities to get to kind of what I will call the suburbs or maybe rural areas? Like,
yeah.
It's like farmlands, and then is there you know, basically countryside to go mountains, things like that? Tell me about that.
So probably an hour to get into the suburbs, which are just kind of like, not shitty, but pretty shitty.
Pretty run down.
But actually the nature in Vietnam is really incredible. Like, Halong Bay is super beautiful. Have you ever seen pictures of it?
No. What is it
called?
You
Halong Bay?
Can you...
Halong. Okay. I want to say that's where they filmed a lot of Avatar, because it has those like really intense like limestone islands.
Yeah.
Freaking gorgeous.
Is the water... It looks clean. Is the water clean? It looks very... It looks clean from these pictures. But...
Yeah, they touched that up a little bit. Okay. there's a lot of tourism there, so the water's not like...
Can you swim in it?
I did, yeah. I swim.
Well, okay. That doesn't mean you should.
I mean, you can.
Yeah, you can do a lot of things. You can.
But yeah, it's gorgeous. There are like monkeys there, which was cool.
Okay.
The biggest cave in the world is actually in Vietnam. It's so big that it has its own ecosystem. It has a beach inside of it. It has a rainforest inside of it. I didn't get to go to that because it costs $3,000 to do. But
$3,000 American?
Yeah, because it takes you 7 days to go through it, and they only let let one group in at a time to do it. So it basically feels like you're in another world.
I would say, yeah, it's
like,
rainforest and things. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's super cool.
I wonder, did you ever talk to anyone who did it?
I didn't know.
Oh, because I just wonder if it's one of those things that is sold really hard. Mm-hmm. Then you get there and you're like, I've seen trees.
Oh.
Yeah, I've seen trees in a cave.
These are just indoor trees.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen trees in a cave in Texas one time. They've done it better, I tell you what.
No, I didn't have a chance to talk to anybody who did it.
Yeah, I mean, it could be great, but you know, it's one of those things you wonder if it's like such a touristy and like people with a ton of money who are coming from like Germany or Australia and like just like, oh yeah, and then they go through and like, oh.
I don't know. I honestly wish that I had done more exploring though, because a lot of it I was just working.
Yeah.
And
24 hours. I mean, that's a labor's work.
No, I know, but still, like a lot of it, that was 6 days a week. It was just 2 hours a night.
Oh yeah, okay.
So
you're stuck. You can't go like far for a couple days.
Exactly. So you've got the whole day off, and then you go to school at night because these poor Vietnamese kids, they go to school from 7:30 to 4, and then their parents make them go to English centers from like 4 to sometimes 10 at night.
Damn.
And then they have to go on the weekend too.
Yeah, well, that's just a way to keep them out of the house, I
guess.
I
get it why that little kid wants to fucking bomb the center.
No shit.
Like, he just wants a break.
So what was your best experience in Vietnam? What would you, and if someone went, what would you tell them that they had to do?
I would say you should go there for at least a month.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely do Ha Long Bay because it's absolutely gorgeous.
Yes.
The rooftop bars are so freaking fun in Ho Chi Minh City. Like, yeah, really good time.
Okay.
And yeah, booze is cheap. Other things are cheap.
Drugs.
Other things. I'm not going to expressly say, but, you know.
Yeah.
If one would wink, they would. yeah, it was great.
Jay just pantomimed the jerking off motion, so I don't know what that means.
Actually, one of my best experiences, in the middle of the country, there's a city called Nha Trang.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there on an overnight bus, which was so scary because the bus driver was insane and just taking crazy turns. I thought we were going to die the whole time.
Yeah.
But we got there at like sunrise after this treacherous bus ride. And so like it's right on the coast. And so we just watched the sunrise on the coast and then proceeded to just get day drunk all day. But you can stay on this amazing, gorgeous coastline for like $20 a night in an Airbnb that's got a huge view of the ocean. And
yeah,
it's so fucking cheap there.
It is crazy when you go to other countries and you see how cheap things are.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to have this weird perspective of like, how are things this cheap in this country and so expensive in our country? You know, it's really crazy when you start. Not that, I mean, and, you know, these aren't... I don't know if capitalist is the way I would describe some of these other countries, but certainly not socialist or communist. I mean, some of them. But it's very like, you're like, why the fuck is everything so goddamn expensive in this country?
Well, I'm also coming there as an American with American money. Like, there, the minimum wage is... All right, so for reference, as a teacher there, I made... The currency is called dong, which that took me a while to not laugh at.
Adults.
Right. So I made 450,000 dong an hour, which is like $20 an hour.
Yeah.
My teacher assistants made 30,000 dong an hour. That's about $1.50. I think a little less than $1.50. And that's super common.
Yeah.
So most people make like a few hundred dollars a month.
Sure. So the cost of living.
Cost of living has to be low because they don't make a lot of money. So for them, like, it's really hard for them to get out and to leave that situation because, I mean, some people have broken through the poverty level, but there is immense poverty there.
Yeah. What do people do? I mean, is the commerce or the kind of the infrastructure similar to America where it's like, okay, well, there's food service and then there's medical and then people build some shit and then there's some retail. Is it like just kind of that typical or is there something else we're missing that
no, I mean, yeah,
it's just kind of the same.
It is a communist country, but it still has all of those same things like retail, shopping centers, everything that you would expect.
Yeah. Do they have a Walmart?
They have, it's called Mega Mart.
Okay.
It's amazing.
Do they have American fast food there?
Yes, some of it. McDonald's is really big. KFC is huge.
Yeah, I've
KFC
heard
is
that.
KFC, fucking everywhere.
Yeah. Did you eat any of it?
So there was a McDonald's right next to my school, and I ate there almost every day.
Did you? Was it different? Because I've heard they do different recipes in different countries.
Yeah, they had like some teriyaki stuff with rice.
No.
what else did they have? They had like green tea shit.
But I mean, if did you eat like if you have like their burger, did it taste different or anything?
It tastes really good, like so better than the ones here.
That's
actually
what I've heard. I've heard because they use like more actual meat and less, you know, they use more real genuine products in their countries because we have really lax FDA.
I know. Like, or, that was actually super good. That was probably the best McDonald's I've ever had.
I've actually heard that about other countries, like their McDonald's, their fast food is actually way better than ours because it's more quality products.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, but when you eat like Viet food, because you eat a lot of street food, you never really know what you're getting.
Sure. That's how the coronavirus started.
Probably because these street markets are, they're really crazy. So you'll like walk out and they'll just have like, they'll have tarps out and then they'll have the food piled on the tarps. So like you'll just see like a huge thing of potatoes, but half of them are just like on the fucking dirt.
Yeah.
Dirt,
it's fine, right?
Yeah, that's fine. So I would buy my like vegetables and my eggs at those. But then there would be the meat areas and you would see them like killing it fresh. So they're just like chopping chicken's heads off and like there was an ox head just on a table.
Yeah.
But then all this meat, it's not refrigerated. It's just like sitting out in hunks.
Right.
And
in,
so
in highly humid.
It's so
areas.
Hot. So you've got to wonder, like, you know, when you're eating pho at this restaurant and you're seeing them like throwing the hunks of meat, it's like, oh God.
Yeah.
How long was it sitting out?
Well, you made it with that. Did you get.
I did get food poisoning. But. So I ate pho from some of the seediest places.
Sure.
There were like rats running around, just very nasty. I got food poisoning from a pizza place that had air conditioning and credit card readers.
That sounds like, that's what happens.
Right?
Those people, they at least know what they're doing. They've been feeding people for hundreds of years. You know what's up.
Yeah, but pizza in Vietnam.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't trust it either. Pizza in Vietnam, like something's wrong here. Nobody, you don't get pizza in Vietnam. Come on.
I learned my mistake.
Yeah, that's fucking, it's like getting gefilte fish in Berlin.
Yeah.
I don't know. But that actually is how the coronavirus started. They found out that it was like these people at this place in China were serving bats.
Oh, was it bats?
It was bats.
Yikes.
So, yeah. And that's how it got, got it.
I believe it. Yeah.
Fucking weird meat.
That was one thing that was kind of like strange to get over, the dog eating thing, because that really is very real that they eat dogs and cats.
Yeah.
I never saw cats, but where I lived, I was right next to the street market. And when I would go buy like vegetables and eggs, you would have to pass these like dogs on a spick. And it's so weird.
Did you eat it ever?
No, okay, so I'll admit I did think about it because I was like, when in Vietnam.
Yeah.
But I did a little research and 3 people this year alone have died from rabies from eating contaminated meat.
Yeah,
so I was like, that's not fucking worth the experience.
Not worth the risk.
I feel hypocritical because like initially I'm like, ew, that's wrong and it's fucked up.
Yeah.
But I mean, pigs and cows and other animals, I think.
Right. It's not. It's very cultural. And also, I mean, you go to India, they find cows holy. You know, that's a holy. So we're monsters to them.
Yeah.
You know, so it's all perspective.
Although the way they do it is pretty horrific.
That's, yeah.
Have you heard about that?
Yeah, I've seen. You see those videos. I actually used to have a joke I did about the Chinese Dog Meat Festival.
Oh, no.
And how I'm like, the Chinese Dog Meat Festival, like, do you think they probably just call it the meat festival, though? Like, they probably don't call it the Chinese meat festival. They know where they're at.
Right? They know where they're at.
I'm not getting it confused.
We're not over here like the American Pork Festival.
Yeah, we're just
what country are we again?
Which one is this? We're at
American Pork.
You're in Nashville. Where do you think?
Yeah.
All right. So you're back though. You're back. You plan on staying back in America at least for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I would love to go back there again. I don't think I'll ever live there again, even though it would be very easy to live there again.
Yeah.
For anyone who's listening, if you're ever feeling like lost and you want to do something, especially if you're like lonely and single and have enough money, go to Asia. Because like you will super find somebody and the beaches are awesome and the jobs are easy and it fucking rocks.
Did you find someone, Jay?
I did, but it was so bad.
What happened?
He's a Facebook friend. I shouldn't.
No, what happened? We'll block him when we talk about
it. Okay, perfect.
What happened?
Like, I sort of kind of dated, like, An Irish Nazi?
Jesus Christ. Okay.
I didn't know that. He didn't start off with that.
He didn't lead with that on his Tinder profile.
No.
So like what about dating? Let's put a pin in the Irish Nazi.
Okay.
I definitely want to talk about the Irish Nazi. But like dating, did you date any locals?
Let's see here. So I went on a few dates with this one guy who is like Norwegian and Vietnamese because he spoke English.
Sure.
It's not that like I didn't want to date the locals, but honestly, like they just don't speak English.
Sure, it's just impossible
to. 99% of my charm is my humor.
You
like
just give the blowjob motion.
Oh
yeah.
You're
like what are you doing?
I don't have the looks enough to just pull it without conversations. So the fact that like they couldn't understand my jokes,
yeah,
it wasn't gonna work.
Sure.
So
So that just didn't happen. So no dating locals.
No dating locals.
So you met an Irish Nazi.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you meet him?
So he was a fellow teacher, different school that I met through a friend. And yeah, we were just going out partying because when you only work 20 hours a week, there's a lot of time to party.
Sure.
And yeah, I mean, he was cute. He had this really stupid tattoo. That was the first I should have known.
What was the tattoo?
Oh God, it was, we have to block him. it was on his bicep. It was a skull that was wearing like a Irish little leprechaun hat, and it had like a cigarette and the shamrock in its mouth. Like it was smoking. It was like, it was basically like, I'm a badass Irishman.
Okay. This is great.
Yeah, but.
So how did you discover he was a Nazi? And follow question, how long did you date him after you found out he was a Nazi?
Well, it didn't all come out ever. Like, it was, so, you know, initially there was the romancing and whatnot. He was very friendly. And then, you know, got to the other stages, and that part was really, really good. So that's probably why I overlooked some of the red flags.
Sure.
He started talking shit about gypsies.
Yeah, gold star colored glasses.
He was just like, oh, gypsies are like the plague of the earth.
Well, that's fair.
Also, he sounded like Colin Farrell, so that was really hot.
I mean, gypsies are terrible. I'm not against this guy. I'm on his side.
So yeah, when you're like spitting racist bile, but you also sound like Colin Farrell, it's a lot more palatable.
Gypsies are terrible. So I don't think that's that racist. They're just, that's factually accurate, historically and currently.
Fine. So. Then he started hating on Captain Marvel.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Wait, like as a comic, as the like. The,
no,
oh,
no, like,
it just wasn't in canon. I think they.
No,
really
he was more like
character.
Like she's not the most powerful Avenger. Like he just started getting like a little sexist,
a little misogynist,
and then he's like, I can't believe Captain America is gonna be black. What's the fuck with this?
Did he say black?
He did say black. He didn't use any different word.
Okay.
But and then he started talking about how Trump's probably like good for America, and then he started and then he got mad that the Little Mermaid's gonna be black, and I was like, what are your fucking principles? Like, why do you care? Why do you care so
right,
much?
Yeah,
and that's about when I was like, hey, bro.
Yeah, that's okay. So there was a string of things.
So
the gypsy thing was fine.
So he hated gypsies.
That was good.
He was like pretty pandering to the Vietnamese.
Okay,
it was very anti like. Black, it seems, and like,
and I'm 50-50 on that
one. Yeah. No, I'm like, so I mean, okay, fire. You didn't come out like straight out like I'm a Nazi, but there was definitely some like racist, sexist vibes.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So what a weird.
Yeah.
So he was from Ireland, though. Is that correct?
Yeah, he's from Dublin.
Okay.
So it lasted like 3 months. Maybe 2 months. Again, he didn't lead with that shit.
Sure. How long did it take for when it started seeping in, though? Like, was it?
I gave it longer than I should
halfway
have.
Through the second orgasm when you're like,
the dick game. The dick game was good.
Yeah, all right, good enough to be like, listen, I can throw a white sheet up for a while.
Oh my god. But no, eventually that did end, and that was good. Yeah. And then things got mostly better.
And you didn't date not dating locals, not dating.
Then there was a South African girl.
Oh, a girl, a lady, white South African, white.
A white South African girl. She was lovely.
Sure.
She was really lovely. Fuck, she's my friend too. Damn it! We got a blur.
Anna Di Antwoord.
Yeah, she was really lovely. But I think she wanted to be more serious than I did. Mm-hmm. You know, because I knew I was leaving.
How do I get out of this? Oh, I just be racist. Wait, they're racist there too.
No,
fuck.
No, no. She was super. But it was such a weird dynamic because, like, when I was kind of ending things with her, she got, like, very sad. And at the same time, oh, God, how do I? There's this long story about my fucking landlady that also happened at the same time.
Oh, boy. What?
How do I even start with that one? All right, so I had the weirdest fucking living situation in Ho Chi Minh. So it started when I was living at this place that was way overcharging me. So like $300 a month.
Sure, yeah, it's ridiculous.
But every day I would walk to the park. And right before the park, there was this little cafe that had these puppies. And I couldn't just like run in there and play with the puppies. I had to buy some shit. So the woman who owned the cafe spoke a little bit of English because her German husband had taught her some English.
Sure.
And so after a few weeks, she was like, how much are you paying in rent? And I told her $8 million. She was like, you can have my son's old room for $4 million. And so I ended up moving in with her. She was really lovely. It was her German husband, and this like 1,000-year-old grandma who she slept right in front of the front doors, which didn't lock. She would hook a lawn chair over the door at night. So if I came home drunk, I would have to like open it an inch, creep my hand through and take the lawn chair off and then try to creep past this old Vietnamese woman who would always wake up and she would roll over and she didn't speak a lick of English, but her eyes were just like,
yeah, was that Nazi again?
But they actually had to flee the country.
They did?
Yeah, because it turns out the wife who, like, I lived with her for, like, 3 months. She kept on, like, asking me for more and more money. It turns out she had been borrowing money from, like, 5 different people. And she'd accrued so much fucking debt. It was about $100,000. And some of it was to the Viet Mafia.
Oh.
And so they had, her husband sat me down and he was like, hey, I just discovered all this a few months ago. They basically told her that if you don't give us our fucking money, we're going to take you to Cambodia and sell your kidneys. So he's like, we are going to have to leave, but we owe the woman who owns this building $20,000. So we have to like go in the middle of the night. So they bought, I don't think I have any of those people on Facebook, do I? I'm like selling them out so hard right now. They bought tickets to a country. Sure. I won't say the country. Yeah. There we go. I'm protecting them. They bought one-way tickets to a country, and then they fled in the middle of the night, and they left all of their shit. And basically they were like, you shouldn't go though, because if we all go, it'll be suspicious.
Yeah.
So
you're just left in
the
house.
So I'm just left there
with
a Vietnamese mafia that's owned $100,000.
Hey, guys.
And the woman who owns the building is owned $20,000, which is a lot of money over there.
Yeah.
And so like 3 days later, I come home and the woman who owns the building, she's like looking around like, what the fuck? She doesn't speak English. I don't speak Vietnamese. So I just do like this like confused motion. Like, what? I don't know.
Who knows what's going on?
I don't know. Fortunately, her daughter speaks a little bit of English. So I just told her, I was like, oh, she asked me to borrow some money too. What? I'm a victim. And I just played dumb. And they actually let me stay.
Okay.
So that was cool. And
Vietnamese mafia ever come and knock in?
No, that also cool.
They probably found him. They killed him for sure.
I haven't heard from them in a long time. Yikes.
Oh, boy.
But so the woman who owned the building leased it out to another woman and her husband. Mm-hmm. And that woman, she wanted to start taking English lessons with me. So I would teach this woman English like 2 or 3 times a week. And she was super sweet. Her and her husband, they had this little daughter, and it was just a good situation. But it got a little weird when one night, so my door had, how do I describe it? It was a wooden door, but it had glass on it. Mm-hmm. And most of the glass was opaque, so you couldn't see through it. But there was a spot in the corner where it was like the opaque had rubbed away, and so that part was translucent. You could see through it. So I'm just like sitting there. I had my cat at this point. So I'm just sitting there like mostly nude with my cat watching Netflix because it's hot and I like to be naked.
Sure.
And I see this like shadow. I had my light on though. So I see this like shadow of a person outside the door and I'm like, what? Do they want something? They fucking bend down and like peer through the little hole and stare at me. And I didn't know what to do. I just like froze. And they stared at me for probably like, oh God, it could have been like a full minute. And so finally I like look up and they hop back away from the door and they scurry down the hall.
Yeah.
And I was convinced. I was like, dude, that's got to be her husband. Like, this is really uncomfortable because the only people who live here are another married couple and then her and her husband.
Yeah.
And she had been saying they were having issues. But I didn't bring it up to her because I didn't want to cause problems.
You needed a place to live.
I needed a place
to
live.
You don't want to get caught up with the Viet Mafia.
Yeah. But then, when things took an interesting turn, she took me out to dinner one night to thank me for teaching her English. And near the end of the evening, we'd had a few drinks. And so we're texting via Google Translate because I'm not that good of a teacher. Mm-hmm. And she tells me three like massive bombshells. She's like, I'm not in love with my husband. I'm only with him because my parents kind of like forced me to be with him and we have a child together.
Yeah.
Second one, she's like, I'm gay. And then the third one, I'm in love with you. It was her, dude. It was totally her who was staring through the hole.
Oh my God.
I know. So I'm like,
How do you, that's the weirdest conversation to have over Google Translate. Like, oh.
At first I thought it was like mistranslating.
So nice. Thank you.
I didn't know what to do. And then she was like, I'm such an idiot. She was like, have you ever like been with a girl? And at the time I was like, sleeping with a South African, so instead of just saying no, I should have just said no. I was like, yeah, I have. And she like started crying because she was happy.
So you want to make your rent cheaper?
She did actually like give me a lot of money.
Jesus, Jay.
She like didn't make me pay rent for the last month. No. She like helped with some stuff.
Oh my
God.
But it just got friends on Facebook.
Yeah, but she doesn't speak enough English to understand this.
Yeah, okay. She's just run it all through Google Translate.
I do feel really bad, though, because, like, so she got, like, real aggressive at the end.
Yeah.
And
tell me more. Slow down. Use an accent.
Oh, she got so aggressive.
Yeah. Vietnamese lady.
One of our last, like, English sessions, although at this point it's just an excuse for her to, like, rub my leg and stare at me deeply.
Right.
She because she knew I was leaving, so she like begged me not to leave. She begged me to come back. She was like, if you come back, you'll never have to work again. I will make money and give it to you. And then I was like, I tried to use the excuse. I was like, look, I think you're really pretty. I like you, but I don't want to get involved with a married person. And she's like, I'll leave him. Just like give me a couple months.
Was she hot?
I'll show you pictures. She was really pretty. She's not my type.
Asian.
No, I love Asians. I love Asians, but I like dykey girls. And she was too femme.
Ooh, okay.
So
interesting.
Also, she has a kid.
Oh, so busted pussy.
oh my God. Right. But the last thing she said, it was actually one of the most romantic things anyone's ever said to me.
Yeah.
She was like, because she was very closeted. It's not super acceptable to be
sure,
gay there.
Sure, yeah, I imagine.
She was like, when you agree to love me, I will tell all of Vietnam that I'm gay. Isn't that sweet?
God. Like she's going to shoot a rainbow out of her pussy.
Yeah. And then she cried and smelled my hair.
Oh my God. Jay, she's seppuku'd herself. She killed herself since then. I know it's Japanese.
I haven't heard from her in a while either.
Jesus Christ. You ruined so many lives in Vietnam. You murdered a cat. You murdered a gay
person.
The
cat survived.
You murdered a couple and their children.
Yikes.
Holy shit. Well, it's quite an adventure. All right. Well, you're back.
No,
you're
I'm
here.
Back. I haven't killed anyone yet over here.
Your fucking tyrannical rule of the South Pacific. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it was a rough time.
So let's see. We got a little bit of time left. I gotta get out of here pretty soon. But I wanna talk to you about. You're back doing. Are you going to pursue any comedy now that you're back?
I really want to. I just started this new job that I super love. Guys, come on down to the Osprey. It's.
Come on down to the Osprey Lounge. You'll fly away with your inspiration.
God, how much money do I owe you for that? That was fucking phenomenal.
You're welcome. First one's free.
All right, perfect.
First hit of sugar's free.
Yeah. So I'm bartending there now. It's amazing. But I'm working every Wednesday night, which sucks because it's open mic and that's also improv practice.
Oh, yeah. Don't they do improv like the jam sessions Monday, Tuesday, something like that?
They do it the first Monday of every month. Okay. So I can probably do that. But I'm hoping once I've been there a little bit longer, I'll just ask them to do me Monday day instead of Monday night.
You know, there's other mics in town, Jay. The club ain't the only show in town.
What are the other ones, though, even?
No good ones.
Exactly.
But here's the deal. You know, bad ones can be good.
I mean, it does make you a better comic. I've had some rough fucking shows at Chan's. And
Chan's is dead.
Chance is dead. Also, what was the one out in Sprague by Hooker's Alley?
Oh, Red Room is dead.
Red Room is
pretty
dead.
Pretty sure that place is closed. Okay. Condemned, I think, is the word they use.
That's probably correct.
Someone recently tried to start an open mic there, and I'm like, fucking why? Don't do that. And they did it twice, and then the place is, I'm not even sure it's in business.
Okay.
I think the doors are unlocked because no one knows who owns the building.
So there's just like a homeless person who's now like the owner.
In a BYOB situation.
Jesus Christ.
So that place is a nightmare. There's a couple other mics around.
Yeah.
I need to be better at hitting them just because I need to I don't give a shit about who the I'm just working on my to figure out wording and stuff. I don't give a fuck about.
See, that's also another issue I think I've come into because I want to work on new material. I always write jokes about my life and then just kind of exaggerate them. But I think the jokes that are most entertaining to people are things that are relatable. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know how super relatable it is to be an expat in Asia. You know what I mean? Yeah, so I want to find a way to somehow make those jokes palatable for everyone.
I think it's not necessarily relatable, but it is certainly an interesting angle. It's something no one else has experienced. So you can play it up and lie as much as you want. No one knows. And you can make it just really wacky and really as kind of extreme or unextreme as you want. So I think that's
a lot
really,
of it was pretty wacky.
Yeah. You just told me a story about dating a Nazi while the Viet Mafia was trying to sell people to Cambodia.
Yeah.
That's a whole fucking, that's a bit right there.
I was also a part of a throuple.
Oh, boy. Yeah. You saw a gay Vietnamese lady came out to you. And a whole thing. Yeah. You got a lot of, that's a whole, you got a whole secret family over there.
Probably.
All right. So we, before we get out of here, Jay, I don't know if we were doing this when you were on the show. Were we doing the rundown when you were on the show?
Give me the rundown of the rundown.
The rundown is a series of questions that we have put together over the years.
Maybe. Was this what's your favorite pizza and all that jazz?
That type of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Have we ever had you do this?
I think we've done it with guests. I don't think you've ever actually done it with me.
I didn't think so either. Because I think you were on the show when we started doing it. So we are going to have you do it. I'll just pick. I got a lot of questions. I just kind of bounce around. Pick
all right, give me
ones.
The weird ones.
So let's see. We'll start with an easy one real quickly. Just a little way to wet your beak, get used to it. Well, just favorite movie. What's your favorite movie?
Favorite
of all
movie.
Time, Jay?
Okay. So, not to be I'm so cultured, but it's a South Korean movie that's called... All right, come all on, all it's right, so good.
All right. I shouldn't have brought this game up.
It's called Castaway on the Moon, and it's the best. It's about this sad South Korean guy who his girlfriend left him. He's super in debt, and his life sucks. So, he decides to kill himself by jumping off this bridge in the middle of Seoul. Uh-huh. But it's not high enough, and so he doesn't die. So, he just floats to the middle of this little... shitty garbage island
Jesus
in the middle
Christ.
Of this giant metropolitan, and he actually starts living as a castaway on this tiny little island in the middle of Seoul, South Korea.
Interesting.
It's amazing.
Did you see Parasite?
No, have you?
Yeah, I did. I watched
was it good?
Last week. It was good. I don't think it was best movie of the year, but it made my top five as number five.
Okay. Did you see Jojo Rabbit?
That was my favorite movie of the year.
Oh my
By
god!
Far. You saw it?
Yes, oh, I've seen it twice now.
I want to see it again for sure. I loved it.
I laughed. I cried. It gave me so many feels.
It was the best movie I've seen not only this year but in a long time.
That's how I felt too. Yeah. Afterwards, I just sat down thinking about it. I was like, that really moved me.
Had everything.
Yeah.
Let's see. If you had to kill one endangered animal, which one would it be and why?
Doesn't it have to be an endangered?
It has to be an endangered because it's, you know, it's more.
Are great white sharks endangered? Because I hate them.
I think they still are.
All right,
yeah.
Fuck those creatures. Absolutely. Because they're like, you've got a little Jaws figuring behind you.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you about the fucking trauma my dad put me through with Jaws?
Did he finger you during Jaws?
No, you monster. Oh my god, no, he thought it was hilarious that I was scared about Jaws. So whenever I was in any body of water,
sure,
like a pool, a lake, a river, he would do the theme song, like, bana,
yeah,
bana, and then he'd fucking attack me.
Yeah.
And even though I knew it was my dad,
it still was,
it's like correlated.
Yeah.
So now when I'm in any kind of water, especially if it's dark,
it's,
I like
trauma. It's,
I know,
scary,
that there's a shark down there.
Okay, so it's sharks. You want dead sharks.
All of them.
So
I want them all dead.
Shark soup over there in Asia.
You can, but it's super expensive.
Yeah. The all right. Who would play you in a movie of your life? A movie about your life. Who would play you in that movie?
Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
What would the name of that movie be?
Basic Bitch.
What's on your internet browsing history right now you wouldn't want people to know or see?
Oh, God. Oh, fuck. I was looking up something real weird the other day. What was it? I think it was looking up, you know, Captain Hook from Once Upon a Time.
Oh, I remember you had
a
crush on him.
Yeah, I've got
him.
A thing,
okay,
for that.
I remember
that. I've been really lonely since I got back.
Well, I don't know any Nazis, Jay.
Yeah, it's checks.
I'll do my best for you, though.
Yeah, so just had some me time with the still old picture of Captain Hook.
He'll save me from the shark.
I'll take your hook.
God. Let's see. What if you could purge for 1 hour, like the movie The Purge? Mm-hmm. What would you do?
Loiter.
Just loiter.
I'll stand in front of some stores.
Just Lloyd's hanging out.
No, I think I know a lot of people would do like smart things, like rob banks and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But I think I'd just vandalize. I'm like a little destructive in nature, and
yeah,
so I would just love to go into like a glass store.
Okay.
Like a Susan B. Wait, is that a store?
Like a Precious Moments.
Yes. Precious Moments
gallery, and just kill,
I just
fuck
go
those
to
cherubs
town
up.
Oh man.
You fucking pussy ass cherub pieces of shit all smile. Why are you chubby in heaven?
Exactly.
You got eternity. Do some fucking planks, yep, you fucking assholes. You
should have an 8-pack.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I would do.
Okay. Let's see. And if you were in a doomsday/zombie apocalypse situation, how long would you survive?
Probably not super long because I'm slow and weak and not very tactile. But if I happened across a warlord, I'm like kind of cute and kind of funny, so I could maybe be like his like least favorite concubine.
Like the sex jester.
Yes. Exactly. Sex jester. So if I could get like a good gig as that, I might go far.
That should be the name of your biopic.
Sex jester. I like that. That's good. Okay. That's played by Will Ferrell.
Sex jester with Will Ferrell as Jameis.
And it's just like him with a wig. Like literally nothing else about him has changed.
I think the Vietnamese mafia is onto us. Hide your kidneys. They're going to make you a sex jester.
I think he's got a slightly southern accent.
Yeah, I don't know. It's all he does.
Yeah. So as long as I'm kept around. So
okay.
Let's see here. I'm almost 27. I think I've got two years left.
Okay.
No, I'm almost 28, so I've got 2 years left.
All right,
until
years
these
you're done.
Tubes
dried
no
out
good.
Full of ping pong balls. All right, now as for the the rundown, the last part of this is we get to turn around and the guest gets to ask me one question, which
ooh,
I have to answer honestly. Or okay. I can just lie.
No, you have to answer it honestly. That's a really good question. Okay. You've traveled quite a bit, right?
Yes.
Where have you gone again? This isn't the question. This is a pre-question.
So this is a multi-part. I've been basically all over the Americas.
Okay.
I've been all through Canada, basically mostly west of the Continental Divide, mm-hmm. some on the other side, all through Mexico, Belize, Costa Rica. I've been into Nicaragua, Honduras, and Panama.
Okay. All right. So I think here's the question that I'm formulating. Because okay. I feel a little bit bad about this one, so I'm kind of hoping you can top it. So as you know, the Americans had a really bad... We did a bad thing in Vietnam. We Agent Oranged, like, a lot of villages.
Yeah, no, we didn't get them all. I know we missed some.
We got a lot. And there's still, like, a lot of evidence, like, deformities, even in, like, young children.
Sure.
And so there was a time... when this woman wheeled her poor Agent Orange deformed child up and she asked me for some money, didn't give her any money. I had to have enough for the taxi home. That's the reason.
Sure.
Anyways, what's the worst thing you've ever done as a tourist?
Oh, man. I don't know if we have enough time for that.
Please,
the worst thing I've ever done as a tourist?
Like, as a tourist. As a foreigner in another country,
like against that, like that's
it's
a hard
subjective
thing to quantify. I mean, so the worst thing I've ever done as a tourist. Well, I mean, the thing that jumps to mind is, and I don't know if this is the worst thing I've done. This was just a very awkward interaction as I was on a bender in Mexico.
Ooh.
I'd been in Mexico for a couple days and just kind of reeled lots of drugs and alcohol. I was coked up pretty hard. And I ended up in the back room of kind of a strip club with this what I found out was a prostitute. I don't know what I thought she was to begin with.
Well, I mean, this is already a bad situation. Oh, and Jesus Christ.
So she's like, it's like literally it looked like a, you know, like a table, like a vet's table, almost like a veterinarian, like a steel table with with the little like butcher paper they pull over it. And she's like, so she's like, sit down, see you at the day. And I'm like, okay.
Oh no.
And then she's like, and then she starts like trying to get out. And I'm like, oh no, I don't want to pay you for sex.
Yeah.
I don't want to pay you for sex. Okay. And then she's like, then she starts, she pulls out like a picture of these like girls. And I'm like,
oh,
group sex? And I'm like, maybe. Like, hold on, now I'm interested. Because they looked young.
Wait, how young?
Well, no.
Jesus Christ. So, what are you admitting to?
Well, no. Well, what I found out is these were like her kids, and she was trying to get me to like take her back. She's like, she like wanted me to take her back across the border.
Oh
with her, and like save her kids,
no,
and her family. And I'm like, I'll take one of them. The cute one.
Oh,
as long as she doesn't tell me she's over 14.
Oh my god,
she can be whatever age. I'm just saying, lie to me.
Tell the okay.
No, the. And and I'm like, oh god, no. And then so I like kind of go to I gotta go, so I like bail out and leave, and I go out, and my buddies that I was with were getting kicked out of the bar, like basically about to be murdered.
Yeah, naturally.
So like I jet out another door, they jet out another door, and the owners who were like trying to basically like probably kill them and rob them.
Jesus.
We get split up, and I'm just like, it's dark, it's middle of night, I'm fucking coked out, I'm drunk as shit.
Oh,
and I have to like walk. I walked like an hour and a half to the direction I thought was the border.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
And finally, like, I made it to the border, right? And I'm like, oh, it's like 4:30, 5 in the morning, sun's coming up.
You're just
up,
gonna stumble like, across.
Yeah, and you just, you know, you got your ID. Back then, you just needed, like, your ID, and you just,
really?
You know, yeah.
Wow.
You tell them you know where the closest Walmart is. You give them the address of one Walmart.
Oh, you're
like,
one of us.
You're in. So I don't know if that's the worst. That's because I am pretty polite when I travel.
That's
like
good.
I'm very. I mean, not that you're not polite. Like that's not your fault. You shouldn't feel bad about that.
I do.
You should. That wasn't your fault. There's plenty of things. There's plenty of times I'm like, oh, dude, I can't help you. There's like, you know, like the guys on the streets who have like a, you know, like no legs. Like,
I know. Well, it sucks just because there's so many of them. So if you gave all of the money, then you'd have no money.
Yeah, yeah. It's like if I got a seashell, then everyone gets a seashell. Yeah. And then fucking you all have legs.
what is that, limerick?
You know, that old saying like grandpa used to say. He'd put me on his knee and he'd get his little shark fingers out.
Oh,
and
no.
Like, hey, that's Sonny. Gonna get you in the pool.
Oh, Jesus.
And anyway, yeah. So that was probably that.
No,
was
I definitely, I try to be polite as well, but I feel like faux pas happen.
Yeah, don't feel bad. There's nothing you could do about that. Yeah. That's not your job.
That's
I mean, if you're fortunate enough to be able to help, but mm-hmm. also, you know, you got to live to your work mm-hmm. and you're doing your thing.
True,
so,
true.
Yeah. But all right. Do you have anything coming up? You want to? Are you going to be doing anything? Or
I don't have anything on the books.
We'll keep you on. We'll keep you. We'll keep you guys updated. What
Other
Jay's
than,
doing?
Come on down to the Osprey. Wait, what was the song?
come on down to the Osprey Lounge, where dreams are made of inspiration.
That's so good.
you're
I'm
welcome.
Stealing that.
You can have it. You can. If they start using commercials, I need it. I need a vig though.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, Jay, it was great to see you. Always love you.
So good to see you too.
I will. We'll have you back on soon. Dope. And let's see, guys. So for me, tomorrow night I will be at the Wild Horse Casino in Pendleton, Oregon. Friday night at TT's Old Ironworks Brewery in Spokane Valley, and then Flathead Lake Brewing Company in Kalispell, Montana, or Big Fork, Montana. Sorry, guys. And a bunch of other stuff coming up. Go to deescomedy.com/calendar. Check out all the dates. And that's it, guys. For the Social Hour, I am Deese. And for Jay, thank you very much.
Bye. Thank you.
And now for my weekly apologies. I would like to apologize to the Vietnamese, Thai Coochies, Jay's Fallopian Tubes, the Ping Pong Show, Ninjas, the Dog Meat Festival, Gypsies, Precious Moments Dolls, and Will Ferrell. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we will see you next week.
Fill it up! I dare you, pussies!
This podcast is a Pants Pending Studios production.
And part of the Pants Pending Studios podcast network.
Find more of our great shows just by searching Pants Pending in your podcatcher.
For more information or to contact us directly, visit us at pantspending.com.
Please subscribe to this show, share it with your friends, like it on Facebook, and rate it on iTunes.
And we thank you for making us a part of your listening day.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending. Studios!